Got a legal question that needs an answer? Listen out to Chester's D Radio to hear from Oliver & Co solicitors on The Legal Show. Their team of experts can help.
And it's Chester's D Radio. The first Thursday of the month means, of course, The Legal Hour with Oliver & Co. And I'm very pleased to welcome back this month Tim Poulding, who's specialist business law solicitor at Oliver & Co. Morning again, Tim.
Morning, Gavin. How are you?
Good morning. Well, I'm all right. Are you okay?
Yeah, very well, thanks.
Busy, I suppose, at Oliver & Co. You normally seem to be.
Always busy.
Always busy.
To the end of the tax year, yeah. A lot going on.
Of course. So, as a business solicitor, yeah, your workload's going to increase, I guess, over the next couple of months. What sort of clients do you help, and what sort of issues do business people need solicitors for, mostly?
Well, the majority of our client base are owner-managed and SME-sized businesses, so that can be anything from small business startups or micro-businesses right through to businesses with turnovers running into the tens of millions of pounds and perhaps 500-plus employees. So there's a real range, and across a variety of different business sectors that we help as well. The types of issue that we tend to deal with for them is really on first meeting, we try to establish what their immediate requirement might be, because generally speaking, somebody comes to a lawyer when they've got a particular issue or a particular problem. But we try to take a more holistic approach. And by that, I mean that we'll look at what that immediate need might be, but we'll also look at a range of plans that they've got going forward, how to grow their business, whether they've got the right platform, the right structure for their business. Do they have shareholders agreements in place? Do they have contracts with their customers and suppliers that meet their needs and protect the business, enabling them to grow further? And then we look at their potential exit strategy and succession planning when they want to maximise the value in their business and be able to retire with that value having been extracted from the company.
Right, so it's about setting it up right from the get-go. That's the most important area of your work, is what I'm picking up.
If you've got that platform, then it's a lot easier then to achieve your ultimate ambitions and goals.
Okay, well, we know Oliver & Co is employee-owned. We've spoken about that before. We'll speak about that again and more in a bit, talk about the advantages of it, and an increasing number of businesses are looking to adopt that model.
Yes, it's been around since 2014, so we're 10 years now into the idea of having a business owned by its employees. There's some very famous businesses out there that have gone down that route, and each year an increasing number of businesses turn to that as a succession plan or an exit strategy for the current business owners.
I suppose John Lewis being the most famous example.
John Lewis, they have something like 80,000 partners, as they call it, in terms of owners within within the business. And there are many other names out there. Aardman Animations, famous for Wallace and Gromit.
Yeah, they're employee-owned, are they?
They're employee-owned as well. Richer Sounds, the hi-fi and audio people. So there's plenty dotted around across a range of different business sectors.
Okay, we'll talk some more in just a moment. Tim Poulding is a specialist business law solicitor working for Oliver & Co. And he's here for our Legal Hour for February. And we're talking about, we have been talking about the businesses that you've sort of typically helped and the sort of tasks that they engage you for. But one of the main things I want to talk to you about while I got you, Tim, is the fact that you're employee owned. And it's been, I think, about a year, maybe slightly more now, that Oliver & Co. has been employee owned. So just remind us exactly what that means.
Yeah, it's 15, 16 months since we became employee owned, October 2022. And so, we've had our first full financial year, and things are going well. What it actually means, though, in terms of the structure of the business, is that whereas before we had a small number of individual shareholders owning the company, the company is now owned by an employee ownership trust. The legal ownership of the shares are owned by the trust, and the beneficial ownership in the shares, in other words, the benefits of business ownership, go down to the employees. And we have over 70 members of staff who are qualifying employees for the purposes of being beneficiaries, and they're entitled to benefit from the success of the company in terms of its profits. The owners, the former owners, I should say, of the company are still involved. they're still members of the management board and they're still trustees, but they no longer have control over either the company or the employee ownership trust. And they are still involved for a period of time, which roughly will coincide with that period over which they will be paid out the value of their shares when they sold to the EOT.
So it's an advantage to the business owner, but also to the people that work in the business, is it? There's no losers here.
It is, as they say, a win-win, Gavin.
Because there are very few of those. Yeah, there's only somewhere, if you dig deep, where there's a loser.
Very few of those in life. But this appears to be one where, provided you stick to the rules and meet the criteria, then as a business owner, you will enjoy the success of your years building up the business by realizing the value and not having to pay any capital gains tax on that at all. Even if you were to be eligible for entrepreneurs relief or business asset disposal relief, as it's now called, on the sale of your shares to a third party, you'd still have to pay 10% capital gains tax. And this is the only model whereby if you sell to your staff, you don't pay any CGT at all on the sale proceeds. Right. Now, those sale proceeds are typically received over a period of time, some on day one if the company has funds in the bank which can be extracted for that purpose, and the balance over an agreed period of time from future profits generated by the company. But then once that has happened, then the real benefit financially for employees starts, because then the employees working in the business at that time will be entitled to benefit from all of the profits that are generated by the company going forward. And even prior to that, there will be the opportunity for them to receive a dividend every year on a tax-free basis of up to £3,600.
Well, we love the sound of dividend, we love the sound of tax-free. Is there a contribution that employees have to make when this is being set up?
There isn't. And again, that's the beauty of it from an employee's point of view. You will often come across a business sales structure to certain key individuals within a business, sometimes known as a management buyout or an MBO. But typically, that requires those individuals who are buying the company to invest some of their own personal money and also borrow money from third-party institutions that will come at a cost and will very often require security from the individual members of the management team that is a risk from their point of view. This is entirely risk-free from the employee's perspective.
What if the business has shareholders before you go employee-owned? I mean, how do you sideline the shareholders, or how would that work?
Well, it is possible for them to sail off into the sunset at the point the transaction goes through, if there is enough money within the company at that point to pay them out fully.
So they have to be paid off.
That is rarely the case, and more often than not, they will still remain involved in the company. They'll no longer be shareholders, so they won't own the company in their own right. But they will still be involved in the company, and they will want to protect that investment of theirs to ensure that over that agreed period of time they are paid the remainder of the value of the company. And they protect that position usually by staying involved on the board of the company itself. So they're involved in the day-to-day management, although they don't have the final say and they can't control the company. If they're seen to be controlling the company by retaining a majority stake, then they would fall foul of the revenues rules on employee ownership trusts, and they would lose their tax-free benefit from the sale proceeds.
I was just trying to find a loser in this scenario, but you've done a very good job of convincing me there actually isn't a loser anywhere.
Well, I haven't found one yet, but I suppose I would urge an element of caution, in the sense that this is not necessarily the right exit strategy for every business owner or the right way forward for every business. The ones that have done this successfully tend to be those that can demonstrate that they're financially stable and profitable for a number of years in the run-up to this, and that they've got the potential for future growth going forward.
Right. Okay. Well, we'll come back and we'll talk some more about what businesses should do if they're considering this. Maybe they've been considering it for some time. Maybe they're just hearing about it today, listening to you and thinking, hey, this sounds good. There's no losers. So we'll talk more about that in a bit. I don't suppose you watch Coronation Street, do you?
Not for some time.
No, because I'm wondering whether this is the knicker factory on the world has been bought, 50% owned now, bought by the workers. So it sounds like it might be a...
It could well be. Yeah. I'll have to tune
in. I'm surprised the scriptwriters didn't contact you for but they helped putting it together. We'll come back and we'll talk some more about employee ownership after this. It's Tim Poulding, my guest, the specialist business law solicitor at Oliver & Co. Tim Poulding is still with me, specialist business law solicitor for Oliver & Co. We've been talking about companies that are employee owned, as Oliver & Co is and has been for over a year, and John Lewis, the most famous example, but you also mentioned Richard Sounds and Aardman Animations. I've got a lot of admiration for Aardman Animations. They're all employee owned. So what should, I mean, what's the first step if a business owner is thinking, yeah, I might go down this route? What should they do first, other than obviously call you for advice?
Well, I was going to say they should talk to professionals. An accountant who specialises in this field is certainly one of the first people to speak to. We have links with a number of accountants who have built up an expertise in EOTs, and they're key because they will be able to identify, firstly, what the approximate value of the company is at that point, and value obviously is an important factor in deciding on an exit strategy and which route to go down.
Is it important that it's profit making at the time it switches?
It is, for the simple reason, the practical reason, that the owners of the business will be paid out more often than not on the basis of future profits. So if you can't show a track record of profits and you can't see how those profits are going to be generated, then it is difficult to see from the business owner's perspective how they would be paid out if they sold to the staff. That might be a circumstance where it's more appropriate for them to consider a third party buyer who could come in, perhaps invest some money into the company, turn it around, improve things, and then grow it from that point.
That would be the better way of doing it. What interest has there been locally from, you know, companies in Chester or sort of West Cheshire, North Wales?
A fair amount over the last 12, 18 months. Since we started promoting the fact that we were an EOT, there's been a number of companies who've approached us, partly because we're an EOT, funnily enough, in terms of wanting to instruct us to do their legal work for them, but also because they're intrigued by it. They like the idea of leaving a legacy for their for the business, rather than it just being sold off to a third party. They like the idea of the staff who've helped them get where they are benefiting going forward, and having that that solid base and continued employment that they might not have if the sale went through to a third party. But the interesting thing is the range of different sectors that have approached us. I've got a meeting with some people next week in the residential care sector who are looking at this as a possible exit strategy. I've had meetings with an architect's practice, a manufacturing company. So it really is something that is applicable to businesses across all business sectors, but they have to be, from a financial point of view and an organisational point of view, in the right moment to take advantage of this.
Okay, and accountants and obviously solicitors like yourself can advise. And you know, if a business is not in the right shape at this present moment, I guess you could advise on what you need to do to get yourself in the right shape to convert to being employee owned.
Indeed. In fact, the majority of the instructions we've had so far in relation to becoming an EOT revolve around us doing consultancy work with the client to help get the client in a position where this will work for them and for the staff going forward.
Okay, so we can obviously contact you anytime to find out more information, to start a conversation.
More than happy. We'll always have a no obligation discussion with people, and indeed we're partnering with Clearcut Financial Planning on the 29th of February at Inglewood Manor to provide a breakfast seminar for business owners who are interested in hearing more about what it means to become an employee-owned business and the steps involved in that.
So if anyone
would be interested in coming along Friday the 29th of February, then if they contact
myself at Oliver & Co, or just email into law@oliverandco.co.uk, then we'll give them more details.
Right. I think that's a Thursday, though, the 29th.
It's a Thursday, yeah, 8 o'clock.
Only know because my mum's birthday's a Friday, the 1st, yeah. Right. And the only other thing I was going to ask is, you're hosting a conference here at the University of Chester in March for other firms, I think, across the country that have gone down the same route as Oliver & Co.
That's right, yes. We were involved in the annual conference last year for employee-owned law firms, and we offered to host the one this year. It's a sector that has done particularly well, I think, from this concept of employee ownership trusts. If you look at the number of employee owned businesses up and down the country, then I think there's something like between 25% and 30% of those businesses come from the professional services sector, of which of course solicitors are part. There are some other prominent sectors, manufacturing is one, construction is one, but there's over 100 law firms now employee owned, and we've had a lot of interest from local law firms to come along who aren't yet employee owned but are obviously considering that as one of their options for succession planning.
Okay, well, as you said, 10 years ago it wasn't even a thing. 10 years from now, I wonder how many will have converted. Quite a few, I'm thinking.
Well, certainly it's growing year on year at the moment, and so there's every chance that it will become more part of the agenda as the years go by. And certainly if you look at how difficult it is for, in the current economic climate, business owners looking to sell their businesses to third parties and would-be purchasers of business to raise the funding to buy companies, then this is only going to be a more and more popular option, I think.
Okay, lovely. Well, thanks for bringing us up to date. Thank you, Tim. Tim Poulding is a business law solicitor working for Oliver & Co.
Got a legal question that needs an answer? Listen out to Chester's D Radio to hear from Oliver & Co solicitors on The Legal Show. Their team of experts can help.